Hope you got your Bible, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. Before I start this, I want to say every year, somebody somewhere, and I know it wasn't official until Abraham Lincoln, but every year people have celebrated the time of thanks in the fall and the harvest of the year in America to stop and thank God for the many blessings.
Amen.
Now, you and I ought to do that. Y'all listen to young people. Y'all ought to do that. These people, we'd look at them, feel sorry for them. Yeah. Lived in log cabins and tents and ate wild meat and about half the pilgrims starved to death before the first Thanksgiving. They'd never seen weather like that. If it hadn't been, there were more Indians at that than there were white people. There were 91, and it's only men, 91 warriors of that local tribe. I think it's called Pusquaya or something like that. I can't pronounce the tribe name. But there were 91 of them, and if it hadn't been for them, there wouldn't have been any meat there that day. And they brought more deer than the pilgrims could eat, and they celebrated. Even though they came from two whole different cultures, even the Native American realized there was a God in heaven.
Amen.
And he didn't know Jesus Christ, but that's why the pilgrims came with the gospel, was to give the gospel. Not to take their gold. They didn't have any gold up there. Not to take their land. They would live peacefully with them. Later on, when money, the love of money is the root of all evil, when that gets involved, then people get hurt. But during this time, and look, we'll do that. We'll to pause and thank God.
Amen.
Amen. The poorest person in this room is richer than most people in the rest of the world. Amen. I mean, we'll not have any Baptist poor mouths. We'll be the happiest people on planet Earth. Not only do you have riches on earth, you got riches in heaven. Laid up. He says, laid up. I mean, I'm kind of poor. I ain't never had much laid up. Y'all got a lot laid up. Amen. But he said, we got riches laid up in heaven. Amen. And listen, we'll be happy. We'll be thankful. And we all have trial and tribulation, but we got more blessings than we do trial and tribulation. And so I want to talk about Thanksgiving for just a few days, yeah. since you ain't coming back tonight. But anyway, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18 says, in everything give thanks. Well, why would you do that? Well, the rest of the verse tells you why. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything. Preach, what about the bad stuff? Everything. What about the hurtful stuff? Everything. Not only the great food, but when there ain't a whole lot of food. Amen. Not only when you're healthy, but when you're sick. Not only when you're rich, but when you're poor. Not only when you're having it easy, but when you're being persecuted or misunderstood or brokenhearted. In everything. If it all works together for the good of us that love God, then we want to thank God for it. Amen. Dr. Howell said he had this little church down in Texas, had 19 people in it, in this first church. And said they got down to the altar to pray one day, and the deacon was praying beside him. And he said, Deacon, you pray for us. And said the deacon started praying. He said, Lord, I hate leavening. Lord, I hate flour. I hate raw eggs. Lord, I just hate raw eggs. But Lord, I sure do love biscuits. And I think all them things put together make a real good biscuit, Lord. Amen. All things. Put them together. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for your love, your mercy, your grace, your long suffering, your goodness. And Lord, our worst of days as a believer is better than our best of days as an unbeliever. And Lord, we just want to thank you today. Take a day just to stop and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for everything, but especially for saving my soul and keeping it, Lord. Now I pray, Lord, if there's one among us today that's got an unthankful spirit, that you'd smite their heart. You'd convict their brain, Lord. Wake them up. Let them see what they've really got and what they, instead of what they don't have, let them see and count their blessings. And then, Lord, for that one that doesn't know you, they don't know how to be thankful because, Lord, they're living in rebellion against God and unbelief. And I pray today you'd convict and convert that heart and save them so they can be thankful not only in this life, but in the life to come. And then, Lord, whatever's done. If somebody's comforted, somebody's encouraged, somebody's convicted, somebody's converted, we're going to look up to heaven and sing, Jesus paid it all to him I owe. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Amen. Now, look, I want to read you a couple of verses now about, I got to think about thankfulness. He says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endure forever. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Psalm 136, 1-3 says this, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks unto the God of gods, for his mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his mercy endureth forever. Now, we'll always be talking about our blessings. We'll always do it. We shouldn't forget the blessings of God. We'll sit down one day and make a list of the things that we're thankful for. I wrote down a few. I'm thankful for the living people that I still have. I'm thankful for the people that are still living here on planet Earth that I still have. Amen. I've seen a lot go to the other side, and I just thank God for the ones that are still here with me, and I'm going to enjoy them while I'm here. I want to thank God for people who have died. I want to thank God for people who have died that I'm grateful that I was a part of their life before they went over to the other side. I thank God for some people that have died and I got to be part of their life. Amen. I want to thank God for my physical abilities. My physical abilities. A lot of people don't have it good as you do. Amen. And there's some people sitting at home right now wish they could come to church and they can't even get out of bed. I want to thank God for my physical. I want to thank God, for my modern day inventions. Amen. Amen. We got a washing machine at the house. I don't know how to run it, but we got one. We got a dryer at the house. I can twist it and push a button. Hope it runs long enough, not too long, but I really don't know. I thank God for a dryer, Brother Billy. I remember hanging out wet diapers on the clothesline in January and getting up the next morning, there was too frozen to bring in. Amen. You remember getting the diaper off and instead of shaking it out, you just held it out? Some of y'all don't know the glory of having a diaper bucket. Woo, you're talking about being thankful for not having something. Amen. I'm glad we got a washer and a dryer. I remember getting those nasty diapers out. Some of them's yours. Quit smiling. And getting them nasty diapers out of that bucket, pouring that bucket out full of water, you know, and everything else. Pour that thing out and get them diapers out. And, woo, you're talking about glory, hallelujah, washing machine and dryer. Amen. Amen. I remember when Mama used to cook on a wood stove. Mama cooked on a wood stove. Paid old man $50 to get us a wintertime load of wood. Piled it out in the backyard. We'd have to run wood in there. Mama would fill up that thing, get it red hot, warm up the house, and then after it cooled off, she'd cook on that wood stove. And I know some of y'all think biscuits was better then. You was around back then, wasn't you? And I know some of you think biscuits. I know you wasn't around. You don't even know what a biscuit is. You say biscuits was better then. I don't know. I kind of like that stove at my house now. You just push a button. Amen. I don't have to carry wood. Amen. I got a gas log fireplace. Thank God for modern inventions. Amen. And some of you kids, you don't know. You sit around whining and whimpering, complain because you ain't got something somebody else has got. You ought to come up where we came up from. You thank God for the inventions that you got a television. I remember when the first remote control came out. I wish I could find it. Boy, I remember when that remote control came out. My brother done wore out that thing and the knob had fell off on our TV at the house. We had to turn it with pliers. Y'all remember that? Because you didn't have it three channels. You had to turn it real quick all the way around to get them, you know, and find you where that... Oh, some of y'all don't know what I'm talking about. Well, I remember that remote control come out. Bobby Anglin. Where you at, Billy? Bobby Anglin said this in Sunday school. You might remember it. He said, I want y'all to know they done come out with this new contraption, and it's called remote control. And I want you to know this. If you got to have a remote control for your television, man, talking to men's class, he said, you ain't right with God. Any man's got a remote control for his television is not right with God. And here's why. The man's supposed to be the head of the house, and the day that I can't tell my youngin' to get up and turn the channel, I ain't right with God. Hey, I'm thankful for the foods I'm grateful for. Hey, there's some foods I didn't get growing up. Boy, I can go down and get them now. Amen? Say what you want to about Walmart, but it makes things affordable I didn't get to have before. Amen? I'm thankful most of all, though, for the gospel that God gave to me. He didn't have to give me that. He could let me die and go to hell and still been God. He still would have been holy. He still would have been righteous. He still would have been the creator and sustainer of all the universe. And he didn't have to send somebody to give me the gospel. But he loved us so much that he sent us the gospel. Now, if you're not thankful today, you need to get saved.
Amen.
Amen. You need to get saved. A saved heart's a thankful heart. Let me show you a couple of things real quick. The Bible has a lot to say about why we ought to give thanks to God. Number one, we should make it a habit. Our text tells us that. Amen. Listen to me, young people. Listen. When's the last time you looked up to heaven and said, well, thank God. Thank God. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. That will be a habit in our life. When something good, when something good happens to you, you'll look up to heaven and say, well, thank God.
Amen.
Thank God he did that. Amen.
Yeah.
And we'll do it so often that it becomes an addiction.
Right.
Now, I'll tell you, one man's got the addiction of praising God. That's John Coley. He's pushing about 90 now. But I'll tell you one day, old John Coley, you couldn't go nowhere with him if you didn't want to talk about being thankful and grateful and talking about God. Everywhere he went, it was praise God. Thank God. Hallelujah. Everything. It didn't matter. If you got a Pepsi Cola, he'd say, thank God. I got me a Pepsi Cola. Amen. And if you can get a Pepsi Cola, you'll thank God. If you get a Coca-Cola, well, anyway, you'll thank God for that too. But John Coley, we'd walk in somewhere. I mean, everything. It was praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Everywhere he went. And we ought to be like that. It ought to be a habit. The praises of God ought to be in our mouth at all times. Amen. More people would get saved if we would do that. More people would be attracted to God if we would do that. If we would just be more thankful with our mouth and show our praises and our thanks with our mouth. Instead of griping and complaining and belly aching and whining. There's a whole generation never been around people that continually thank God. Amen?
Amen.
And then the Old Testament had a lot to say about it. 1 Chronicles chapter 16 verse 34 says this. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. That's it. Now I know his mercy endureth forever, but we ought to, the Old Testament saints, they said, we ought to thank God. Listen, because why?
He's good.
You say, what about what I'm going through? That doesn't change God's being good. What about my problems? Well, that doesn't change God's being good. What about the situation in Washington? That's pretty good. For his mercy endureth forever. The Old Testament saints did it. They thank God continually. They had it written on their doorposts and everywhere else. Amen. Number two, Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Most of you already know it. You can quote it to me. Be careful for nothing. I mean, don't worry. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, now we like to pray and ask, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. Now, the New Testament saints did it. The New Testament saints did it. They thanked God, and when they had prayers and supplications, and they went to God to ask for something, they thanked him, whether they got it or not.
Amen.
And we'll have thankful hearts whether we get what we ask for or not. Amen?
Amen.
I've met kids, especially teenagers, I would call them punks, but I don't want to offend nobody and them go to the law or something on me. Sometimes they'll whine and cry. Well, I didn't get that and everybody else has got it. Well, thank God for what you did get.
Amen.
You didn't deserve anything.
Amen.
Hello.
Come on, brother.
We don't deserve anything but hell.
Amen.
Amen. I didn't get that new Xbox. Well, you don't need an Xbox.
Right.
Amen. Matter of fact, if you stay on the Xbox, you might end up in one of those boxes going down to the cemetery. You ain't learning nothing sitting on that stupid thing, going brain dead. Get outside. Amen.
Amen.
What would it be like if all of us gave our children and grandchildren something made out of wood this year? I thought about that yesterday. Me and my grandson, Rhett, we sat down and we made this old, it come in a kit. I didn't cut it out, it was already cut out, but we had to put it together and I let him mostly put it together with glue and nails and screws it was a catapult. You put something in, pull it back and it shoots out. But it was on wheels you made a wooden truck with a catapult on it. So I told him, now you can shoot marbles at your father, but if you shoot them at the window, you're going to get a whipping. You wouldn't believe how much that boy enjoyed sitting there and putting that thing together. My wife and I gave him a birdhouse one time. We sat and we assisted him a little bit and he put a birdhouse together. You want to know why you don't think it's fun? You ain't never done it.
Right.
Amen. Your brain dead, sitting on that electronic hypnotizer and everything else. They had another shooting the other day. I think it was out in California. Boy walked in with a gun. Now, I've seen these video games. These boys sitting on that video game, and it's blood, and it's guts, and it's gore, and it's chopping people's head off, and they become desensitized to death.
Amen.
Somebody dying doesn't mean, and they see it on their movies, and they hear it in their music, and then it don't take much to go from a little play gun to killing people to getting a real gun and killing people. Amen. I don't know where that come from, but thank you, Lord, it was good. The New Testament saints, they thanked God for everything. Well, why should we do that, preacher? Well, he told us in 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 34, he said, his mercy endureth forever. Well, thank God we don't get what we deserve.
Amen.
Amen. Well, preacher, I don't like that. That offends me. Well, that shows right there you're not thankful.
Amen.
Listen, I thank God he does not give me what I deserve.
Amen.
Not just since I've been saved, but before I was saved too. Psalm 37:25. Turn over there real quick. Psalm 37:25. Now, if it was Thanksgiving Day, I'd let you out early so you'd eat that turkey, but that's not till Thursday, so I'm not Thursday, I'm not worried about it. Psalm 37:25, look at it with me. I've been young and now I'm old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. We ought to be thankful because God blesses us.
Yes,
Ron, you got something to eat at the house?
Yes, sir.
Amen. We'll be that's enough right there.
Yeah.
We'll thank God because he blesses us. Psalm 126, verse 3. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad.
Amen.
Now, I want you to stop. Now, you young people don't know, but as you get older, you'll be able to do this. But us older folks, look, we'll look back, way back. Some of you can look way, way, way back. You can't go past yesterday. But some of us can look way, way, way back and start looking what great things God's
Amen.
Done for us.
Amen.
Bill Boatwright, you know how many people's gone on to glory and you're still here?
Amen.
You know how many of those people died and went to a devil's hell and we're still here?
Right.
I mean, it's wonderful they went to heaven. We'll see them again. But way back, I can go way back and start giving examples, and I'm sure a lot of you could, where we could have died.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord.
And we were even lost people at that time. We weren't even Christians.
Absolutely. Yes, sir.
We could have ended up in a tragic death or tragic circumstances, and you get looking back at that, and you get to think back and say, man, that right there that day, I could have died and went to hell, but God was good to me.
Yeah.
And then you look way back over yonder, and you look at your mom and daddy. Your daddy might have been a drunk, or your mama or something like that, and you look back at it, and God brought you through that and then saved mom and daddy. And you can say, boy, if mama hadn't saved, if God hadn't saved mom and daddy, where would I be today? We ought to give thanks. You know why? It produces a glad heart.
Amen.
A glad heart.
Yes.
Some of the most miserable people you'll ever see are unthankful people.
Amen.
They don't smile. They don't laugh. Hey, they're always looking for something wrong with everybody else. I'm glad God's been good to me.
Amen.
And I'm thankful for it. And I'm going to be thankful for it. And no matter, look, if he stopped blessing me today, he's already done more than I ever deserved.
Amen.
You say, well, I deserve more. No, you don't. You're just like the rest of us. The wages of sin is death. You don't deserve any better than anybody else. Ephesians 5:19, if you will. Now, I know everybody in here. Look, I know that everybody in here is thankful. But you know what we need to start doing? We need to start saying it.
Amen.
Yeah. We need to start proclaiming it. There's a lost and dying world out there that they don't see anything to be thankful for.
Right.
Boy, you get up in the morning, you walk out there to get... I used to walk out the paper box. It comes on the computer now. I hate that. I hate that. Don't y'all hate to read the paper on the computer? I hate that. But I used to walk out to the paper box, and I still do it around here. I'll walk, and as I'm walking, I'll say, thank God, I can still walk. Praise Amen. God. Thank you, Jesus, I can still walk. And I'll take me a big old breath, and oh, man, thank God, I can still breathe.
Yes.
And look around and say, thank God, I can see, and I can hear, and I can walk, and I can talk. And thank God, I'm in my right mind.
Yes.
But unthankful people, they don't think that way. They walk around, they think how somebody has hurt their feelings. They walk around and think about how somebody has offended them. They walk around and think about what somebody else has got that they don't have and that they deserve and the other person don't deserve it. Or how somebody mistreated them. And they've got all these regrets and they don't see anything to be thankful for. So therefore, they are not glad.
Amen.
I never had a daddy. I was an illegitimate child before it was popular to have illegitimate children. Nowadays, half children are born out of wedlock. Well, I was born out of wedlock. Don't know who the man is. Tried that genetic thing. It didn't give me nothing. It just made that one side of my tree real thicker. I found out more relatives on mama's side. Matter of fact, I think I almost married two or three. No, I'm teasing. I'm teasing. You ever thought about you go through your genetic history and all these names, like in my name, it's Roddy's, Baker's, Roberts, Robinson's, no, it's not Roddy's, that's the one I'm not kin to. It's Baker Smith's. No. Stay out of my preaching. Listen. And then, I'm old, it's easy to confuse me, okay? But I got looking at all those names and I think, I knew a bunch of those people when I was a teenager. And I didn't know I was kin to them. What if I'd have married one of them? Be like that country song. I'm my own grandpa. Well, I'm thankful I had a mama. I'm thankful that I had a mama that didn't give me away. The eighth of nine children, she let me live and she let me stay with her and she fed me and she clothed me and she worked in an old cotton mill and brought home a little bit and we wasn't ever rich and we didn't have a whole lot, but thank God I had a mama. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Some of y'all, you just don't know what you got. Amen. They just don't know, Brother Ron, what they got. Thank God, God delivered me from Lancaster, South Carolina, and let me go on a blind date and meet a girl in Rock Hill, South Carolina, that I could marry and not end up in hell with her.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Brought me all the way up here. Brought me all the way up here. Brother Everett, I had to come on a blind date. God was in that. Just like, no. Some of y'all look like you're still blind. We'll be grateful. We'll be thankful. We'll give thanks where? Everywhere. Psalm 100 verse 4 says this. Psalm 100 verse 4. And he says this. He said, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. That, hey, he's talking about the sanctuary right here. We'll come in this church. We'll say, praise God. Thank God. I get to go to church today. I got a church that still believes the Bible. I got a church that the preacher ain't mean. He loves me. Amen. Amen. Say amen right there. Amen. Amen. Hey, thank God I get to come to church where they still sing real Christian music. I come to church where people really look at you and hug your neck and say, I love you, and they mean it. And if I need them, they'll be there.
Amen.
Well, to enter his gates with praise. Amen. Well, to enter his gates with thanksgiving.
Amen.
I walk around this thing every day of the week, and I walk around here praying. I say, thank God for my little old church. Thank God you let me pastor this little church. Thank God you let me preach here. Thank God. Every time I come in those doors, I'm thankful. And listen, young people, I'm going to tell you something. One day you're going to get out yonder, way out there somewhere, and you're going to wake up in the hog pen, and you're going to say, thank God I got a church I can go home to, and they'll have me still, and they'll love me and forgive me.
Amen.
Psalm 105 verse 1. Give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. Well, where do you do that? Everywhere. Out yonder. We come in with thanksgiving, but we want to go out with thanksgiving, thanking God for everything that the world might see that they could get God too.
Amen.
Come on, bro.
The problem with our churches today is just the Christians get lockjaw when they leave the doors.
Come on now.
They just get lockjaw. I mean, do you know how valuable it is to thank God in front of people that don't know Him?
Amen.
Do you know what an impression that makes on lost people? To thank God in good times and thank God in bad times. Do you know how that... Did you know... That'll scare people. You get around a crowd of sinners at Thanksgiving dinner, your family. Some of y'all catch on after a while. Get around a crowd of sinners during Thanksgiving and say, hey, we don't ever say blessing. Can I say the blessing? And they say, yeah, go ahead. And you start praying and pray heaven down on. Thank you, God. I get this come to my family today, and I get to love my family. And thank you, God. I got a big old turkey down here I can eat. And day after tomorrow, I get turkey and mayonnaise sandwiches. And thank God I got something to eat. Thank God I got a church I can go to. Thank God I live in a free country. Thank God there's people that love me enough to tell me about Jesus. And God, thank you that you're working on my family too. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 You don't have to be a preacher to preach. You can pray and praise.
That's right.
A lot of times I go visit somebody and they'll say, well, preacher, I don't want to hear all that. I say, okay. Can I at least pray for you before I leave? And they say, well, sure, pray for me. And I'll pray it down on them. I'll quote the scripture, Lord, thank you. You let me come in this house. Thank you for Mr. Jones that he let me come in. And thank you, God, that he's interested in the gospel and that you're working on his heart. Thank you, God, that you died for all sinners. He can be saved. Thank you, God, that if he'll just call on you and ask you, you'll save him. And thank you that you'll keep him forever and ever and ever. And thank you he's going to get saved one day, Lord. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. You walk out there, he's sitting there going. We ought to be thankful everywhere we go.
Amen. Yes.
Amen. You know, I can be thankful in Walmart. Have you ever been thankful in Walmart? You go to Walmart, don't you? I'm fixing to say, I know you do. You go, don't you? We'll see if your mama can't get some pants and ain't tore up this week, okay? You go to Walmart? Do you go to Walmart? What would you think if somebody walked down the aisle while you was at Walmart and said, thank you, Jesus, I get to walk through Walmart. Thank you, Lord. I got a little money in my pocket. I can buy me something down at Walmart. Amen. Thank you, Lord. I didn't die and go to hell in that car wreck I was in when I was lost. You go, whoa. Well, to be thankful everywhere.
Amen.
Some people just wait till they go to church, put on their Thanksgiving.
Come on, brother.
Lord, change it to thanksgiving.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I got to quit. I know some of you not thankful when I go over 12. What should we be most thankful for? That's the question. What is it that we should be most thankful for? 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15. Preacher, I got a Lamborghini. Is that what I should be most thankful for? No, that thing's going to tear up. And you ain't going to find a mechanic that can fix it for less than $150 an hour. You won't even be able to afford to drive that stinking thing. Amen? Amen. Well, preacher, shouldn't I be thankful for a new pair of tennis shoes that cost $350? No, you ought to have your head examined. Amen. 2 Corinthians 9:15 says this. He says, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift.
Amen.
Now, those of us who are saved, we know what that means.
Mm-hmm.
But in case you don't, you know what unspeakable means? I can't even explain it. That's what that means. Thanks to God. For I've got a salvation that is so wonderful and it's so great that I cannot even put it into words to describe to you how good it is.
Amen.
We struggle with that. We struggle with how to tell people how good this is that they might want what we have, because we know if they just knew how good it was, they'd want it too. But it's so hard to explain because it's a miraculous thing. A new birth is unexplainable.
That's right.
Amen.
That's what we'll be most thankful for. You know, I've met Christians that act like they were not thankful that they were saved. You talk about salvation, they talk about it like it was just some kind of chore or something. They're not thankful for spiritual things. But boy, they'll brag on you about how much money they make. And they'll tell you about that new car and that new video game and that new Xbox and that new Z-Box and T-Box. And they'll brag to you about those clothes and that jewelry and their friends and all that stuff. And they're sitting there looking at you and they say, what have you got to be thankful for?
It's so good, can't you?
Was it that new Telstar car or whatever they call it? No, no.
Yes,
very good. I told that woman to stay out of my preaching. The Bible does say let the ignorant be ignorant still, doesn't it? And sometimes I do know the name, I just say it wrong. Just be funny. I can't tell you. I can't. Well, when I first got saved, I went down there to the industrial mill to work third shift. And there wasn't but three guys in my department on third shift, and I was 23 years old, and I was the boss. I run this machine that's 600 yards long. And they helped me. And I was the youngest one to ever do that. And the older guys come in on the first shift, they'd come downstairs through the machinery down there, up the stairs to my workplace, then they'd go over to the other machine and start it up. And after I got saved for about a week, I guess, every morning, something had happened. I'd gotten born again, and I didn't know how to explain it. I didn't know any scripture. I didn't even know any hymns. I just knew I was lost and I was found. I knew I was blind, but I could see now. And I knew I was deaf, but I could hear now. And I could understand things I never understood before. And the Bible was coming alive to me. It wasn't a dead book. It was alive. And I'd read it and cry while I was reading about it. And I wanted to know how to tell these guys that I worked with and who liked me so much, but they were dirty, rotten, lost sinners, you know, just like I was. And so every morning as they started coming in at 7 o'clock, I'd be pacing at the top of those stairs and I'd be praying, Lord, help me tell them. I don't know how to tell them, God. They've noticed and I don't know what to say and they've asked me things. I don't know how to explain it. Lord, help me, Lord. Please help me tell these people what's happened to me. Wow. I knew I was different. I couldn't, I had not the words to tell what has happened. And I'd cry every morning. And then they'd come by and I wouldn't tell them. I had words. They'd already noticed. They'd been making comments about me. They'd been talking about me. And finally, the day happened, Dewey Fell. Some of y'all might even know him. He's in heaven now. But old Dewey Fell come upstairs. And as he was coming up, I come up beside him. I said, Dewey, I got to tell you something. I got to tell you something. Now, Dewey was in his 50s. I was 23 years old. And I got to tell you, Dewey always had the dirty jokes. He always had these things. He got right with God later. But I was following him. I said, I got to tell you something. He said, follow me over to the office. So I followed him over to the office. He said, Ron, what is it? I said, something happened to me, Dewey. I said, something happened. And I don't know how to tell you. He said, you've been going to church, haven't you? I said, yeah, I've been going to church. He said, I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you. Good job. He didn't go to church. I said, Dewey, the only thing I know to tell you is I got saved. That's the only word I know to use. What I hear is I got saved. And I gave him a little testimony. And he said, Ron, a tear come up his eyes. He said, Ron, I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you. Have you told Steve? That was another friend of mine. I said, no, I'm scared to. I said, Steve will make fun of me. And I don't know how to deal with that. He said, come on, I'll help you tell him. A sinner helping a saint tell the unexplainable gospel of Jesus Christ. Later on, I found out he grew up in church. So he walked with me back there, and was about far from me, the hall road from Steve. And I said, Steve, I was crying. I said, I got to tell you something. He said, what's wrong with you? I said, Steve, I got saved. He said, you what? Now, he didn't grow up in church. He got up, he walked over behind the machinery, way over there. And I said, Steve, I went to the church and I walked down and asked Jesus to save me. I'm different and I can't explain it.
He said, I said, I see things differently now and I believe on Jesus. He said, you wasn't in church, you was down in Connors. Connors used to be a nightclub down in Chester. What club? It was a beer joint. I said, no, Steve. You can't get this out of a bottle. You don't understand. You just don't understand. I don't know how to explain to you. He said, stay away from me. Don't talk to me about this stuff anymore. Now that was a sad thing for him to do. I really loved him. He's still living. I still love him. I don't know if he's saved or not. I hope maybe he got saved. But Ron, I just can't explain it. It's unspeakable. The things that God has done in our hearts and in our mind, in our soul, we cannot explain that enough to where a person can understand it unless the Holy Spirit of God Himself open your mind and open your heart and open your understanding. Then you can receive it. And once you receive it, nobody has to explain it to you. Amen. Amen. It's an unspeakable gift. I'm thankful. If God never gave me another pair of shoes, I thank God for that unspeakable gift. If He never gave me another car, I thank God for that unspeakable gift. If He never gave me another dime, I thank God for that unspeakable gift. I could live and die under a pine tree somewhere and be just as happy going to heaven as I would to own all the things in the world because I've got this gift that I cannot explain. Amen. I don't understand Christians who are not thankful.
I don't understand Christians. Not just for stuff. Maybe you're worldly and carnal and you're fleshly and you're not thankful because you don't have some kind of car or something. I can understand that. I can't understand why you're not thankful for the unspeakable gift of salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord. I can understand why anybody would be ashamed of Him. I've been ashamed of me. Since I've been saved, I've been ashamed of me. But boy, I ain't never been ashamed of Him. Amen. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation. Everyone that believeth. Well, I'm going to quit after Romans chapter 12, verse 1 through 3. You say, well, preacher, where should we thank Him? Here. Where else? Everywhere. What should we be most thankful for? Salvation, the unspeakable gift. What should thanksgiving do to us? If you have a thankful heart unto God, what should that do to you? How should that affect you? Romans chapter 1, 1 through 3. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, what He did for you, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, do not think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Thanksgiving should produce thanksgiving. Thankfulness, listen, thankfulness always inspires to the receiver to respond to the giver. When somebody says thank you for something you did, you know what that makes you want to do? Give them some more. Do more for them. Is that not right? Somebody, I see the Methodist nod. Let's get a couple Baptists say amen in here. Can you say amen? Can you say amen?
Amen.
Good. He turns you down. It'll make us, look, when we're thankful to God, He receives the thanks and He gives us more. I'm going to tell you something. We did bus ministry for about 18 years. I can't remember it. Every Sunday we'd give out candy or prizes or something. Christmas bags, all this stuff. And there never failed. There'd be some little brat. I mean, uninspired child. And we'd give it to them and they'd say, hey, I don't like this. Oh. And I didn't know what culturally correct meant, so I said, well, give it back to me if you don't want it. You unthankful little thing, you. Amen. Amen. And God sends us gifts, and we go, eh, I didn't want it to happen that way. And God says, okay, I won't do anything else then. Thankfulness inspires the receiver to honor the giver. Now, listen to this. Are you thankful? Are you really thankful for all the good things in your life? We sang the song, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and you will see what the Lord hath done. Would you quit counting your failures and start counting your blessings? Would you quit counting your disappointments and start counting your blessings? Would you quit looking what everybody else has got and thank God for what you've got?
Amen.
Do you realize eternal life is a gift? Do you realize that? It's a gift. Everybody in here, except you young people, everybody in here, we give gifts on Christmas to people that
will never give us anything.
All of you got those people in your family. Don't act like you don't. They ain't never going to give you nothing. But Grandma says, I know, but we got to give them something. You know why they don't give you anything? They're not thankful for what you gave them.
Right, come on, brother.
You know why God doesn't give people more than He gives them? Because they're not thankful for what He gave them.
And you know what
make you be most thankful? It's when you're deprived of what you've been looking for. Now, if we're not thankful for what God's given us, why do you think He'll give us more?
Come on, brother.
Yeah. If we're not thankful for what He's given us, do you really believe He's going to give us more? Some of you kids, some of you older people, when was the last time you sat and thought about it? I am so thankful. All right. Do you know how to receive a gift? These kids are going to get these things. Here's a girl, 2 to 4 years old. What if you lived out in a jungle somewhere or a communist country or somebody, somewhere and somebody came up and said, listen, Merry Christmas, we got a gift for you. What would you do? You'd receive it.
Yeah.
You wouldn't ask no questions. You'd say, what would you say? What? What would you say? They didn't want to say it loud, but they said thank you. Give me that back. Eternal life, same way. Jesus came. He lived a life you can't live. He died a death you can't die. He rose a resurrection you can't do without His help. And He says, come unto me, all you that labor heavy laden, and I'll give it. I'll take care of you. I'll take that load. I'll take that lost condition and give you salvation. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But as many as received Him, to them gave He the power to become sons of God. So, look, every gift has to be received. Would you think that a person that wouldn't receive it would understand what thankfulness is? No. They've never received a gift. There's a lot of rejectors when it comes to the gospel. You know what that does? It makes them scorners.
Right.
When you reject somebody's love, somebody's gift, you know what to do? In order to defend yourself, you'll start scorning that person. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, we help people sometimes. Sometimes we'll help somebody, you know, in your family or something. You'll bail somebody out of money or pay a bill or something. And that happens over and over and over. And then all of a sudden you don't see them anymore. You know why? Because your gift giving has made them ashamed of their unthankfulness. And they don't want to be around you. Because it makes them feel guilty. They get convicted. So instead of coming to you and saying, I'm sorry, I haven't been thankful, they become a scorner. They talk bad about you. And they try to make you look bad. Is that not what a sinner does to Jesus Christ when he rejects the eternal? I'm thankful.
Amen.
I could preach all day on thankfulness, and some of you think I already have, but look here, this is Thanksgiving week, and this is a great opportunity not only to thank God, but thank others, and not only thank God and others, but to show others what a grateful heart is. I grew up, we didn't pray, we didn't have thanks, we just dove in there and eat like animals and everybody grabbed and played. I stabbed my brother in the hand one time with a fork over the last biscuit. You ask Jerry, there he says. That thing stood straight up in his hand. He's reaching for that biscuit and that last biscuit and I wanted that biscuit and I stabbed him in the hand. I'm serious. Now that's the old Ron. I wouldn't do it now. I'd give him the biscuit. But I'm just thankful God's let me live long enough to be thankful.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let's stand, Father.